Chapter 1. Love. A little more than a decade before, Chris Kyle was the answer to my prayers. Literally. I'd been feeling depressed after a series of bad relationships and was unsure of my future. I prayed to God that He would send me someone I could raise a family with, someone who would value and cherish me, and someone I could value and cherish in return. I didn't care about age, career, looks, or anything. All I wanted was a man with a good heart. I told that to God and admitted that although I wanted to be independent of a man, perhaps I wasn't meant to go it alone. Within weeks, He sent me Chris, in the most unlikely place to have a prayer answered. But maybe it will make more sense if I start at the beginning. My beginning, at least. Family beginnings. I was born in Portland, Oregon, in 1974, to Kent and Kim Studebaker. I spent my childhood in small-town suburbs. Trained as a lawyer, my father gave that up to run a small business. My mom was a teacher by trade, but worked as a bookkeeper for my father. I had one older sister, Ashley. We lived a pretty typical middle-class life. Family was very important, and some of my fondest memories are of days spent visiting my grandparents, who lived on a lake about 20 minutes from us. Visiting them, whether during the summer or on a weekend or even just for a meal, was like going on vacation. We'd boat and swim, or just sit out on their patio and gaze at the ripples on the water. My grandfather was wicked smart, with a sense of humor to match. One of his favorite things was fashioning limericks on the spur of the moment to keep us amused. He had a huge stock of the witty poems and could deploy them at will, making crazy connections with things that were going on. I blame my offbeat sense of humor on him. At the same time, he had an old-fashioned sense of decorum and style, always wearing nice slacks and a button-down shirt, often topped off with a Mr. Rogers-style cardigan sweater. He managed to carry them off with a casual rather than stiff air. He was a calm man, so even-tempered that the very few times he got angry were the stuff of family legend. That's one trait that doesn't seem to have been passed on in my genes. There is one unusual wrinkle in my family tree. My mom's mom was married to my dad's dad. They were actually stepbrother and sister, though they never met until college. Marion, my father's father, and his wife had four children together, including my dad. He hated that name, by the way. Most people called him Studi, short for Studebaker, his last name. When my father was 15, his mom died after a long illness. Studi married again soon afterward, and then divorced. Following that, and maybe thinking he was done with marriage for good, he moved into an apartment complex on the lake. Meanwhile, my mother's mother, Emily, gorgeous and very artistic, had married her high school sweetheart in Pasadena. He became a very successful dentist, gave up his practice to join the Navy during World War II, then came out and resumed dentistry after the war. Unfortunately, he seems to have cheated on her. The marriage ended in divorce, despite the fact that they had three kids, including my mom. Emily then married a man from Oregon, moving there to be with him. That marriage also ended in divorce. She moved to an apartment complex, the same one where Studi happened to live. Two bad experiences were enough to turn her off to marriage forever. Now in her 50s, she was adamant that she would remain single for the rest of her life. Then she met my grandfather. He set out to woo her practically the moment he saw her. We have some of the notes they wrote to each other, and based on the evidence, Studi was a master Romeo, even well into his 50s. "Together you and I are meant to be," went one note. "You're going to marry me one day, you see." He was the sort of man any woman would find hard to resist. Big blue eyes, a gentle heart, brilliant, and a great sense of humor. It took him a while, but gradually he wore Emily down, and they were married. While they'd had a few bad marriages between them, this one was the sort people refer to as made in heaven. They'd have weekly races to see who could do the New York Times crossword puzzle the fastest, cooked gourmet meals together, and danced in the kitchen whenever the mood struck them, which was often. They laughed all the time and just seemed to have the most wonderful days together. Visiting their house was like going to a resort where only happy people were allowed. My sister Ashley once asked my grandmother what the secret of their marriage was. "Oh, I don't know, honey," she told her. "We just laughed a lot, danced a lot, and loved a lot. If you could package that somehow, you'd make a fortune."